T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Ed Ogeron won the national championship, signs a 6-year, $42 million contract, and gets divorced. He's resigning.
We're probably going to get a ham sandwich or maybe some boudin or something. Go to bed and wake up tomorrow and do it again.
He's leaving at the end of the season. So The Athletic has a story on some of the details.
Something that had priority in his life that didn't have a priority before was talking to women. That just became too high on the totem pole, one LSU source said.
That is an all-time quote.
We talked into the night, the kind of talk that seemed important until you discover girls.
He became single and rich and famous, and he did what many people do when they are single and have even the smallest amount of clout. They use it to impress women, and he would bring dates by LSU's practice.
You want to come by practice?
Ogeron he's a Cajun, and he starts screaming in Cajun talk.
There was a woman that was a wife of a high-ranking LSU official.
This is a good one.
Ed didn't know who it was, but he pulled up to a gas station, and he was wearing exercise attire, and he said to her,
"Hey, you look like you work out. We could work out together."
The woman informed Ogeron that she was married and pregnant, to which he responded,
"Why does that matter?"
And I'll never forget, man, we shovel shrimp from 5 in the morning to 10 at night.
Oh, God.
Oh, I didn't say it, but then she was married and pregnant with the child of a high-ranking LSU official.
Yeah, I led with that part.
Oh, I missed that. My bad.
You're with the top Bobby Boucher on the ear. Call that wrong. You're the same as you want Bobby
Boucher. Hell yeah.
Sandwich.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim. Here we go. Here we go, Tim. Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Where the top of the hour is brought to you by DuckDuckGo.
I didn't catch it the first time. That's the living single theme from the 90s sitcom.
Yeah, I couldn't help think of Coach O with Queen Latifah and Kim Coles, you know, just living their best single life in a 1990s New York City setting.
I mean, you say Queen Latifah and Kim Coles, it's all about Kim Fields, though. It's all about Tootie from The Facts of Life, having grown up and become a full-blown Kim Fields to a man like me. Oh, God, it was the right time in my life. That show.
1993, Living Single.
That's glorious.
Yeah.
That's absolutely glorious. I just love the freedom that we all have to do our jobs. You know what I mean? Like, I can come in and reference whatever the hell I want. Tanny can put Living Single in an open. Danny, you can reference whatever it is you seem to like
in the world.
You.
Thank you. Yeah.
I couldn't imagine. Like, I would love that as a show. Coach O just pops up to the loft space. Hey, how you girls doing? Hey, where are we going tonight?
Hey, what's going on? We're going to go shovel shrimp all day long. What do you think? Want to come by practice?
Ed Ogeron is the next Bachelor. It's a ridiculous concept.
Would you accept this rose? Would you like to stand on the blocking sled?
Come by practice.
Yeah, come on, bro.
He brought him to practice.
It's amazing.
He brought dates to practice.
You use what you got.
That's the closing line, man. That's the closer.
Want to come see practice?
I'll tell you what, if you want to come see practice sometime, we can talk about that.
We're national champions. I have Joe Burrow's cell phone number.
Sorry, all right. It's a weird thing to say at a first date, but okay.
And he's comfortable with it. He said he's got enough money to buy a hamburger, right?
Yeah. Double hamburger. Sometimes double. Put bacon on there.
He moves on with his life.
Yeah, he seems totally fine.
Well, I blew up my life. What are you going to do?
We're married for 20 years. I won a national championship, got $40 million. It's all over. But, I mean, you know, YOLO.
Next. Thank you, next.
YOLO.
Truth is, I'm very lonely.
What's the question you always ask, Danny? But is he happy?
Is he happy?
Yeah, oh, I'm incredibly happy.
And so and people ask, can I sleep at night? And I can.
And I can.
Yeah, yeah, I can.
Normally with blonde women, much younger than me.
I think about that way too often.
The Lance Armstrong.
The Lance Armstrong, like at the end of this harrowing documentary, delving deep into the psyche of Lance Armstrong, who must be struggling morally with everything that's gone in his life. Yeah, no.
How do you sleep at night, right? Can you live with yourself? And I can.
It's not art.
It's amazing.
In fact, I'm so rich that I have a really expensive bed and nice sheets with a high thread count, and I fall asleep like an angel.
Come here. Feel these sheets. Feel these sheets. They're bamboo. It's unbelievable. You wouldn't believe these sheets. That's how I sleep at night.
It's incredible.
Very comfortably.
And yeah, as someone who probably, if you're anything like me, mind races a little bit when you hit the pillow.
You kidding me?
Tortured souls in some ways. A lot of questions. Did I do this right? Was this the right thing to
do? I can't believe I screwed this up. I hate myself.
Yeah, a lot of self-loathing.
Oh, there's a lot of that going
For
on.
For way less reasons than Lance Armstrong hates to hate himself.
He's totally fine.
Yeah, totally fine. It's kind of admirable, isn't it?
It's not that it's admirable. Well, it's just
enviable.
Enviable
is what I wanted. Enviable is what I meant.
Because psychopaths have that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's not admirable.
No, like I was watching this thing on Hulu, Wild Crimes. I think it's a four-part true crime documentary about a dude who killed his wife. Then they find out, he also killed his first wife 13 years ago.
It was a habit. Know?
Yeah, he lived with that the whole time.
It's like your guy Bobby Durst in The Jinx.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. And there's something enviable about being able to live with whatever sins you have committed and just go on with your life.
Yeah, but I think it is better
when they're
to
not
have a
murder,
conscience.
When they're not murder sins?
Oh, yeah. When it's not murder.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always
But then again, like, you know, like, conscious due cost. Like, you know what I mean? It really does get in the way of some fun. And Ed Ogeron seems to be having a lot of fun.
I think he's ready for some fun. He's having some and he's ready for more.
And even the letter saying like that he was leaving LSU was like not one filled with any real degree of regret.
I didn't see the letter.
He was just like, yeah, I'll be moving on after the year.
Okay.
It's been an honor.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay.
All right.
He's got a lot of money and he's going to have a lot of fun.
Good for you.
Can't bring him to practice anymore, but I'm sure he knows people that would
but
still
is
let him
he happy?
To practice.
Yeah. Is he happy?
And he sleeps very, very well at night.
Very, very well.
So I was watching more football than baseball last night. There's baseball happening right now. Dodgers on top of the Braves, 2-0 in the third.
Mm-hmm.
But I was happy for Kyle Schwarber. You're having your baseball watch party tonight.
Yeah.
But what were you – there's everything that happens in the postseason for the teams that are not in the postseason. The conversation is like, what can we learn about the teams that are still playing? And like, and how can we apply it to our local teams? Now, the Cubs, I would imagine there's not a whole heck of a lot right now because they're far away from playing at this level. But I would think the White Sox – maybe there'd be something there.
Yeah, and I think there is something there. And I do love that part of baseball's postseason when everybody, all the writers are paying attention, everybody's thinking about stuff and thinking about the state of the game and things like that. And I think it was Jared Diamond in the Wall Street Journal who wrote about it. But Benetti mentioned it with us. Ground ball rate, people. Here from Jared Diamond, here are the offenses that had the lowest ground ball rate in baseball this season. You ready for these names?
Okay.
Number 30. Out of 30, okay? San Francisco Giants.
They had a good season.
Number 29, the Braves.
They won 88 games, but they're still playing.
Number 28, the Dodgers.
Won 106 games, still playing.
Number 27, the Red Sox.
Still playing, winning, dominating the Astros.
Number 26, the Blue Jays.
Had a great offensive season and very tough division.
Would have been in the playoffs in just about any other division or league, pretty much. Well, I guess one other league. Number 20.
Hold on. Checking your mouth.
Thank you.
I got the same.
Number 25, the Cardinals.
Okay.
Big late run offensively, made the playoffs. Number 24, the Astros. That would be your top seven teams in lowest ground ball rate all made the playoffs.
So the teams that hit the ball in the air the most.
Correct.
The seven most. Well, no, the Blue Jays did not.
Blue Jays did not.
Blue Jays did not, so but had a monstrous offensive season.
Right. Their offense, not a problem.
Right. Reason missing the playoffs was a product of division and other things.
This is nothing, you know, incredibly new.
You like that insight into the Blue Jays season by me, by the way?
Yeah, it was hot stuff.
It was other things.
Yeah, it was hot stuff.
Thank you. I knew their offense was good.
I mean, people know this is part of the launch angle revolution, but it's really not even about launch angle. It's about line drives. It's about hitting the ball in the air. Mike Bryant will talk to you about this forever. A lot of people will talk to you about this. Here's what you need to know. The White Sox, third worst in all of baseball in ground ball rate. And of the teams in the bottom 11, they were the only team in the playoffs. Out of the bottom 11 in ground ball rate, the only team to make the playoffs is the White Sox. So it's kind of a predictable lack of extra base hits when they got here to the little sample of the playoffs, and we know anything can happen, but man, it just sort of makes all the sense in the world. Let me go one level further, if I can.
Okay, I had some questions.
Okay. On ground balls during the year, and this was some work done by an Astros blog that was scouting the White Sox. The White Sox batting average on ground balls was .255, fourth highest in MLB. But their expected batting average, that's XBA, based on where the ball was hit and StatCast metrics, is the fourth lowest at .230. What that means is that 25-point discrepancy between the expected batting average of ground balls and the actual batting average on ground balls means that a lot of their ground balls found the hole.
They got lucky.
They got kind of lucky. They had a very high BABIP. They had a .310 BABIP, very high in MLB. So they got inordinately lucky on their ground balls during the course of the year. And I admit that I was a guy who celebrated their ability to score runs without homers. But this isn't even just about home runs. This is about line drives.
Well, but they are correlated.
Fly ball. Of course. Of course they are. But it's also about line drives and hitting it hard in the air, and good things happen when you hit it in the air. So what do you do when you're the White Sox and you've got an offensive core that you've paid and you've got everybody here and you just hit too many damn ground balls?
Okay, my first thought with this, because we talked about the ground ball rate. Tanny would mention it.
For sure.
It was discussed. My first thought was the seven regular season games that the core six guys played, right? When it was Moncada, Anderson, Abreu, Grandal, Eloy, and Robert. They only had seven regular season games where those six dudes played, and they averaged like 7.3 runs per game and went 6-1.
Mm-hmm.
When you have Eloy and Robert, both missed, what was it? It was 80-something games and 90-something games, right, were the final totals for what those guys missed in the regular season. And obviously, Eloy is a power hitter. Robert tracks to be a 7-10 war player when he's good, right? Like, he is an all-around five-tool player. If you simply have those two guys in the lineup 140 times out of the year, how much better are the numbers?
Well, it's a good question. The thing is, it depends on what they are as ground ball hitters, if that's what we're talking about.
I guess I would just assume that a guy like Eloy would...
This is your problem. Eloy's a 48% ground ball rate guy.
Even when he's healthy? And you know what I mean? Like, okay. So that would surprise me. Eloy, I know he hits in the double plays, but that surprises me.
Well, Eloy is a guy whose wrists turn over. He turns over on that outside pitch a lot and grounds it to the left side.
So he's like feast or famine.
He is a ground ball problem. You know, and Luis Robert is not as much, is at 36% for a ground ball rate guy on the course of this truncated year,
this
but he's
season.
Also so damn fast that he'll beat out some of those, and some of those won't turn into double plays. But no, you've got some guys who are issues.
So those guys do not solve the problem.
That's a good question. You'd think they probably will hit a few more home runs with those guys healthy the whole year.
They definitely hit more home
runs.
They
definitely will, yeah. And maybe that mitigates the overall ground ball problem. But
that's my first thought, right, is that in theory, before the season, those were two of the top 10 candidates based on just the gambling markets for American League MVP. right? There was a reasonable expectation that if those two guys played full seasons, that Eloy was a 40-plus home run guy and Robert was a 30-plus home run guy, correct? So that's set, like, and what—
It's a lot of home runs to have lost.
And what did they finish with? What did they finish with combined? Eloy and Robert's season home run totals. I apologize for not having their final season stats committed to memory. But if before the year, it was estimated that they would have been 75 combined home runs, I'm curious what they finished with, because you probably, just off the top of my head here while Tanny looks it up.
Yeah, Eloy had 10.
Okay.
And Luis Robert had 13.
Okay, so that's
so 23 combined.
And the numbers would have said that the expectation there was roughly 70, right? So you are, so that's 40.
Yeah, or 60 if you want to be kind. Sure.
Fine. So that is.
It's a big deal.
37. So yeah, so we'll do the kind number. We'll say 60 on the low end. They hit 23. That's 37 lost home. Now, obviously, their replacements hit home runs. Right, Yermín Mercedes hit home runs, and
Andrew Vaughn hit a few home runs.
Right, and Vaughn probably would have played. Mercedes wouldn't have. So it's not like it's 37-0. It's 37 versus what their replacement level with their replacement players produced. But so fine, let's be even more generous. Like they missed out on 20 to 25 home runs on the low end based on their replacements.
Mm-hmm.
So I do wonder what it looks like if there are another 25, and that's just with those two dudes, another 25 home runs in the profile for the White Sox offense.
You're absolutely right. So look, is it an option to just bring everybody back and say, we're going to have better health, and thereby we're going to hit more home runs, and things are going to work out differently when we get, hopefully, back into the playoffs and have a small sample? Is it in play to do that, to bring back your roster pretty much as is, with one or two little additions, and not really change anything systemically? Yes, they can point to health. They can point to small sample of the playoffs. They can point to the fact that the starters didn't last in the playoffs, and they can run it all back. That's not what I would do if it were my team.
But would you break up? Because
I'm not saying break them up, but I'm saying I would, as I've been saying about defensively and trying to lean on my coaching staff to incorporate some of the wisdom that my front office might have a little bit more, I would lean on my coaching staff to incorporate some of the wisdom offensively too. I want my players.
Home run. Let's hit 300.
Yeah, well, I hear you, Frank, but
not great.
Yeah,
not aging,
you know,
very well.
But there you go. Does Frank know exactly what the ground ball rate is? Does Frank know what the ground ball rates are for the best teams in baseball? Does Frank know how Rick Hahn feels about ground ball rates? Does Frank have a way to distill the information necessary to Eloy, to these guys, to try and get them to think about it more and tweak their mechanics a little bit to do it less? And I fear that answer is no for the White Sox on multiple levels in terms of information, data, metrics, et cetera.
Well, those six players in particular, and I know that like Moncada hasn't hit his offensive ceiling, and obviously Robert and Eloy haven't hit their offensive ceiling either, mostly as a product of health. I don't know that you want to change like the profile of those guys. Like Grandal was an awesome offensive player the last couple months of the year. We know what Abreu is. I think he is the old dog that's not learning new tricks, and he's a great dog at what he does. But I just wonder, like, the other spots, whether it's right field or second base or catcher.
You acquire people who don't fit that profile to balance out your roster.
Yeah.
100%.
Because that is your core, and that core to me is good enough to carry an offense that wins a World Series.
But isn't this just like, you know, when the Cubs had a young core, or any team has a young core, it is their job to get better. It is your job to coach them up so they can get better and keep improving, because people do get better and people can get better. And it took Chris Bryant up until the year before his free agency and his father getting it across to him. It literally took him up until this past offseason to change what he changed. Remember, he stood higher and he thought swing down, even though he has the natural uppercut. Those kind of things is what these guys should be working on in this offseason. Not the same thing as Bryant, because he was dealing with swing and miss issues at the top of the zone. But whatever these guys can do in a targeted offseason to deal with a ground ball issue, they should be doing right now.
Well, so which one of those guys of that core, again, you have the ground ball numbers in front of you. I would imagine Abreu, right? He hit into a ton of double plays.
Bray went into
he
a ton
was
of
one of the league leaders. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's not always a bad thing because that, you know, some of the great players in the league lead the league in double plays.
Hit. Yeah.
And also it's a byproduct of hitting the ball hard.
My guy Jim Rice was a leader in double plays forever.
Yeah. Cool.
And you accept
hit into
it.
A ton.
You accept.
Yeah. You take the good with the bad, and also with the Bray, you like he is what he is at this point. You know, he's like, you know, Paul Konerko, where Paul Konerko hit a ton of double plays, but you took the home runs and the extra base hits when you got them. You just knew it was part of doing business.
I guess so. My question then is, so if Abreu is what he is,
you know, the number one regular is in ground balls. It's also a real good hitter, and that's Tim Anderson. It's at 55% in terms of a ground ball rate for Tim Anderson this year.
So do we? So is the answer trying? Because like that's a guy that would strike me as a good enough athlete, good enough hand eye coordination, talented enough that he probably, if he made that a point of emphasis, could cut down the ground ball rate. It would cut down his batting average. It might increase his power numbers, but then you might not have him hitting leadoff. Like, is that a trade-off that you'd want to do with Tim Anderson?
I 100% want Tim Anderson armed with this information in a really clear and digestible way, and I want 100% to have that full-on conversation with him. And I don't know that that has happened. I don't know. But those conversations need to happen in a super informed way. And because with those guys who are made guys and they're entrenched, they would still be interested in getting better. Tim has worked his ass off to try and get better as a defensive shortstop. I'm sure that he would be interested in that kind of thing. And then with some of the other guys, like Cesar Hernandez is at a 50% ground ball rate. Leury Garcia had a 55% ground ball rate. We all know Leury Garcia shouldn't have played as much as he did. He's a very nice player to have as your 26th man. You don't want to give him all that time. And a lot of this comes back to your manager understanding what tendencies are and who should be up in what situations, et cetera. And I hope that there's a metric guy who can speak to Tony. I really do.
Okay.
So you still don't need cyber metrics to figure that out.
Those stats are overwhelming in terms of the top seven teams with not hitting it.
That,
in terms of correlation to great offensive seasons and great success, that is overwhelming.
And look at, say, the Twins' turnaround 7-8 years ago is because they concentrated on fly ball rate as an organization in terms of offensive profile. You know, it's very, very common around there. Tanny, you think you got any hope for an offseason of a ground ball rate decreasing for an entire roster?
I have no hope ever about anything.
Good talk.
I just hope I wake up in the morning. No, but
we're all day to day.
I'm so conflicted about this because we know in the postseason, like I really, if I'm Rick Hahn, I don't want to make all of a sudden all these adjustments based on one 4-game stretch in October, you know, that we just happen to put more weight onto, because as we know, you know, sometimes hitting in the postseason can be tougher in the regular season. You do need to grind out at bats and you do need to make contact. Like when I think about how the Astros beat the White Sox, yes, it was a lot because the starting pitching didn't go deep into games, but you know, a lot of it was ground balls right up the middle. You know, it's, you know, strategically placed balls on the ground help. You know, they did hit a couple big home runs in the series, but, you know, ultimately when those home runs were not available to them, they found ways to score on offense. So, like, I appreciate the data, and it is pretty damning that all the playoff teams are right there at the top in terms of least ground balls hit. But in October, it's a different story. You know, I think it's a matter of time and place. Like, you know, for each individual at bat, what's the best option here? You know, we know that they're going to try to induce a ground ball if there's a runner on first base. We know that's what they're trying to do. And you saw them get burned a lot with that in the series versus the Astros. So I think they need to adjust to that and try to get that ball in the air, because you guys heard me talk about it all year. A general recipe salute for their success all season was hitting the home run. You know, that just, it's true for most teams, and they have the guys to do it. So I really do get worried when you try to adjust your whole philosophy after you won 93 games, granted in a bad division, but you can win games. You need to win games a variety of ways in the postseason sometimes, I think, because that's where it gets real tricky in that spot.
I think Danny is spot on in terms of tweak your roster wherever you can. Make sure when you add certain guys, they go against the profile. Adam Eaton was a terrible profile to add on so many levels, and that was really dispiriting. So hopefully there won't be anything like that this offseason.
The return of a league brings the return of just absurd sports stories. Next on The Score.
Distraction today. I didn't think he wanted to do what everybody else was doing. And it was early. It wasn't a big deal. I just told him he should leave then. And we went on with practice. No, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to give, like, every day, every single moment, I'm going to give Ben a chance to join the team and be part of the team. He's under contract to be part of the team, and so that's not going to change. You know, sometimes it happens quick and guys join back in. Sometimes it doesn't. I've been in both situations, and I'm fine with that. But at the end of the day, as a coach, I have to protect the team.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo. That's Doc Rivers talking about Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, one of the most versatile players in the NBA, a 6'10 guard who is an all-NBA defensive player, and he's wildly talented with, like I said, $190 million guaranteed contract.
Just can't shoot.
Can't shoot. Awful moment in the postseason. Him and Embiid do not seem to be the best duo in terms of complementing each other's skills. And he wants out of Philly, but he reported to the Sixers. And yesterday, he showed up at practice.
Had his phone in his pocket at practice yesterday.
Yeah, was practicing in sweatpants with his cell phone in his pocket.
Didn't join the team huddle at a point yesterday.
And then today, gets thrown out of practice. Doc Rivers is like, hey, Ben, hop in on this defensive drill. He said no. Then he said, Ben, hop in on the defensive drill. He said no. Then Doc said, then get your ass out of here. He said, cool, dropped the basketball, and went home. They suspended him, conduct detrimental. He'll miss the opener at least.
Here's what Joel Embiid said after practice today, quote, our job is not to babysit somebody. At this point, I don't care about that man, unquote.
Things are going great. I was just thinking about the idea of sabotaging your way out of a job.
I hate that kind of trash. That kind of, not that, I'm not calling him trash.
Embiid?
No.
Okay.
Simmons. Okay. Yeah. Simmons, this kind of passive, aggressive, intentional, chaotic disruption. F you, man. Show up or don't.
Well, that's the thing. I don't really get, and I'm sure, I mean, he's repped by, you know, Maverick Carter, by Rich Paul, and like
he wants to be traded, and but thinks that this is going, that at this point someone else would still accept him like this and be like, you know what, sign me up for that.
Well, I think that I think the assumption is that if you traded for Ben Simmons, he'd be happy. He was not happy, reportedly, with the comments that were made about him after the postseason series last year that went poorly. So I would assume that if he got traded to fill in the blank team, he would show up. And but what I don't get is you were holding out and then you showed up,
right?
And you're doing this. Why show up?
To get paid.
But
right?
But they're okay. I mean, they fined him for missing the preseason games, and now they suspended him, and so he'll be suspended without pay for conduct detrimental, right? So like he hasn't gotten paid yet.
Sixers had withheld $8.25 million. And then Simmons showed up. So I don't, and so maybe he got that. Maybe some of that came in a lump sum, and now he turned it back on, turned on the apathy again.
I just, yeah, man.
Jackassery.
It's fairly remarkable. I don't really get why he showed up in the first place. And I just think the idea of, have you ever sabotaged your way out of a job? Like, you guys ever, like, intentionally gotten fired from a place?
I've never done that intentionally. I hope that I've never, like, subconsciously showed up and been terrible at a job and just not cared.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't remember ever doing that, frankly.
I defied a bad boss openly at Boston Blackie's who had no idea what he was doing. He was a new manager, and it was like, he eventually was like, I'm going to fire you. And I was like, yeah, you can't fire me. I quit. And so it was like a simultaneous firing, quitting situation. And then he was gone like 3 months later and I got hired back. But that was like the closest. I was a great employee,
all
man.
Right, so you got in a battle of wills with a boss at Boston Blackie's.
Because I was better at his job than he was. But I was just the to-go guy, and he was so incompetent and not qualified. And so he was telling me that I needed to do things that I just fundamentally disagreed with.
This checks out.
And I had worked there much longer than him. Hold on. You can't shake your head at this. He ended up getting fired. He was incompetent. I was right. I was just the to-go guy.
You standing up for being right and trying to win a situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not surprising.
No, it shouldn't surprise you in any way, shape, or
picturing
form.
Picturing you in your early 20s, like, you know.
Teens.
Teens, even worse.
The like, level of baggery. What would Hub say about that guy? Right?
He would say he's having fun. he was wrong. He was wrong.
Uh-huh.
And he ended up getting fired, and my guy hired me back. It was great. But he tried to fire me and fill out the paperwork, and I said, no, I quit. And so that was the standoff and the battle of wills. That is as close as I can say to just being totally indifferent about my own employment.
I have not. Yeah, no. Tanny, Shane, have you guys ever intentionally, willfully tried to force your way out of a bad situation like that?
No, I work hard at every job I've ever had, almost to a fault. Where I'm like, man, why am I working so hard at this job that I'm not going to have in 5 years? What am I doing?
That checks out.
Yeah, that is very. We're both on brand here so far.
Very on brand.
Shane, you ever sabotage your way out of a job?
No, because I was always worried what my dad would tell me, what my dad would think. I'd be completely embarrassed that somebody fired me and I have to face my father. So,
yeah.
No.
Reasonable.
Yeah.
Totally
reasonable.
Totally reasonable thing.
I've always felt so damn fortunate to be doing any of the things I've done for a living. I've never wanted any of them to go away.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't happy to leave that job, but I was right. And sometimes you get a hold of a fact or two and you get a little belligerent with it. And all of a sudden that to-go job didn't seem that important. But it was
in terms of engineering your way out of a basketball situation.
Yeah.
Like I remember Andrew Bynum trying to do this and thinking that, you know, he was going to be important enough to get his way. I don't believe that went very well for Andrew Bynum when he was kicked out of practice in Cleveland and then eventually traded. But he didn't have as much upside remaining on his career as theoretically Ben Simmons has in his career. Texture,
yeah, it's different.
Right. Texture points out when Jimmy Butler wanted out of Minnesota, and some of those stories are legendary, and he just kicked everybody's ass in practice and was just a real tool until they finally said, all right, we don't want you around.
Yeah, but was right. He teamed up with all the second stringers and said that Wiggins and Towns weren't tough enough and practicing hard enough, and then the story goes that he did the Jordan thing and like took the second stringers and beat the first stringers. Speaking of Carl Anthony, just the NBA is back, which means weird stories are back and like weird hilarious stories.
And that whole situation has aged well for Jimmy Butler.
Very well. He goes to Miami, one of the best culture organizations in the league, and you know ends up in the finals.
Yeah.
You see the story of Carl Anthony Towns today? Carl Anthony Towns on what his new pregame ritual is to get pumped up. I don't know if you do anything to pump yourself up before a show or a gig or anything like that.
I got some stuff.
Everyone has their things, right, before a big performance. So Carl Anthony Towns, his pregame ritual this year, watching two gorillas fight to the death.
Oh.
He has a video that he likes to watch, and he watches them fight to the death. Some real Animal Kingdom stuff.
It's the same. He's got one video.
I don't.
It's gonna get old fast.
I don't have many details.
He's gonna know what happened. Hey, here's where Gorilla B comes in with the left.
But these are the details that we get.
Man,
with the NBA being back,
the gorilla.
Yeah, the gorilla. I mean, that's kind of badass, is it not? Carl Anthony Towns, super thoughtful guy, introspective, has been a leader in the NBA's vaccination efforts. He's had family members pass away from COVID. He's been like very empathetic and outspoken and just thoughtful. He's a thoughtful dude. But he's like, so how do you, when you step over that line and come into the game, like how do you switch off from like thoughtful and empathetic to
savage fighting in the blocks?
Yeah,
on the blocks.
Aggressor. Video of gorillas fighting to the death.
That's
I'm
us.
Watching videos of gorillas fighting to the death right now. They throw punches.
They're just, yeah.
They do?
They throw punches like
Close
human
fist?
Boxers.
Close yes. Roland Groots?
Wow.
Like human boxers, they throw punches.
That's us, man. When you watch that, it's like, yeah, there we are. There we are.
Oh, you're a big Evolution guy?
Yeah, long-time Evolution
me
guy.
Me too.
Yeah.
Love working with you.
It's hard not to be sometimes, isn't
it? It's tough. To not be an Evolution guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they make it tough.
You ever walk through at the Field Museum, the long thing about like the evolution of everything?
Yes.
That essentially they trace there at the Field Museum and you're like, oh yeah, there we are a few hundred million years ago. We're very similar to that creature.
Yeah.
That starts to make a lot of sense.
So they've made a compelling case for evolution.
Case.
Like if you balance creationism's case against evolution's case, I feel like, and again, everyone chooses their own facts these days, but I do feel like evolution has a little bit more evidence on their side.
I think so. So, update on the gorilla fighting. How's that going over there, Shane? What do you feel?
I don't know who's winning. I really don't know who's winning. They come at each other for like 6-7 seconds, and then they both walk in opposite directions, and they come right back at each other.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tweet it. It's kind of boring.
Who's got
like a real boxing match?
How about the scoreboard? Who's got more rebounds? Who's got more rebounds?
Harambe, it looks like.
Oh, well, see? Harambe.
Rest in peace, King. I just
Boob's out for Harambe, by the way. Wasn't that a thing?
What did you say?
Wasn't that a thing people were saying?
Something about Boog? You know about Boog Shami?
What happened to the Boog person?
Wasn't that a thing for Harambe?
Boob's out?
People were flashing on TV or something for Harambe?
I missed that.
I don't know.
I missed that.
Okay, well.
A little bummed I missed.
Literally dump him.
Yeah, I didn't know. But all right. Hey, the more you know.
Whatever gets you going, man.
I'm just saying.
Whatever gets you going.
The league is back.
Cat.
I'm excited. We got Brooklyn against Milwaukee right up the road here. Ring ceremony, banner ceremony tonight. I think the Bucks. Have you seen any of the videos from Giannis in the preseason? Because you do your bets.
I do.
You know, I know you're a big NBA bettor.
Yeah.
I feel like there's going to be value early in Giannis made threes. His jump shot looks awesome. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't play much, but there's a stretch of a preseason game of him against the Jazz.
If he wants to shoot a whole bunch of them during the regular season, I'm cool with that. In the postseason, when it's nut-cutting time, do what you did. Go inside and dominate, kid.
I'm just saying, if what I saw in the highlight compilation of the preseason game for the Bucks against the Jazz is true, and Giannis added a legitimate, non-hitched jumper this offseason,
mm-hmm.
He's got a shot at the third MVP.
I saw your boy Nick Wright unveiled his tiers of players this morning.
Yeah, he's a big list guy.
Yeah, well, no, but the tiers, I think the tiers is a very cool thing. I like that thing. And he had Giannis at the top.
Giannis number one, and KD and LeBron on the second level by themselves. Yeah. In his period. He had Zach LaVine too low. I was giving him some crap for that. He's got Zach LaVine outside of his top like 35. I think 36 or 37th. But
my text thread of Bulls fans buddies are fuming at whatever particular power ranking they found that had the Bulls 10th in the East behind Indiana and Charlotte. They're like, Indiana and Charlotte.
I think Charlotte has a chance to be kind of nice, but they're not better than the Bulls. Yeah, that's disrespectful.
That's right.
That's disrespectful.
You'd hold that one up.
Yeah.
Go bulletin board on that. But meanwhile, most power rankings and most national entities are picking the Bulls as the breakout team.
People are very, very, I was going to say bullish on the Bulls.
I already tweeted that. Joe Cowley bullish on the Bulls. That's not something that he usually is. Says they're going to be a top, what do you say, top 10 defense.
He had the top 10 defense, fifth seed in the East.
Whoop!
Yeah.
Whoop!
That'd
be fun.
It would be fun. Caruso and Ball and Patrick Williams, I think, can be plus defenders. How many minutes are they all going to be on the floor at the same time? The top 10 defense would shock me.
We have not asked the doctor about any of this. I don't think he's weighed in even once. What's that about?
Sorry, I'm just locked in here on the opener here. I can't even be bothered with Bulls right now.
He's got a game tonight.
I'm on call.
Our apologies. And we're late. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Eddie Jackson. You know, we've talked to this before, and his name keeps coming up for the wrong reasons. You know, his name keeps coming up for reasons as you are the safety. You are the last line of defense. When you come up and you make that hit on Devontae Adams and he gets past you, it's going to be a touchdown, kid. You have to make that play. Mm-hmm. Get him down by any means necessary. Don't care how you do it. Even if you shoot at the worst flag, still keeps him out of the end zone. Mm-hmm. But you got to find a way to get him down.
That was Lance Briggs on the Football After Show, NBC Sports Chicago, about Eddie Jackson. Then Eddie Jackson tweeted out a Pro Football Focus article that talked about Lance Briggs' missed tackles over a period of time with the old thinking face emoji. But then he, of course, deleted the tweet because he realized, man, talking about Lance Briggs and tackling when you're Eddie Jackson, probably a losing proposition for you here on the old internet.
Lance Briggs, a linebacker, made a lot of tackles, missed a few, sure.
Yeah, late in his career, based on the data as well. He will react and respond to Eddie Jackson's response to his criticism for the first time on these airwaves coming up in a little bit. With Anthony Herron. They're at the Beacon Tap and Displains, Miller Lite Top Draft Show. Miller Lite, a great partner of us and the Bears. So go on out in Displains to Beacon Tap. see Lance Briggs, hang out with Anthony Herron, 6 to 9 tonight.
That's very cool. Anthony hosting solo and very well these days, and he gets Lance for an hour and a half of that show tonight. Good stuff.
Yeah. All sorts of drama in these streets today. You had Aaron Rodgers saying things about Olin Krutz. Then Olin Krutz came on with us and said some stuff. And John Kuhn apparently has a radio show, and he said some stuff about
Olin. And what
Olin.
Did Olin say to John Kuhn?
Stop being a clown.
Stop being a clown.
Yeah. Stop being a clown. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of
and
lot
you guys, you're poking every bear that's possible. And in the end, we needed Hub Arkish to tell us that it was just fun.
He has fun. Yeah.
That's all.
I agree.
Him and Crane Kenny.
Guys, I hope everybody knows that I consider this fun.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
We all love fun.
What a blast.
Prescribed fun, segmented fun. Coming up next, fun. News of the day, though, beyond stupid, funny sports beef. Robert Quinn on the COVID list. Positive test for the Bears. He still can play. He needs two separate negative COVID tests. At least 24 hours before the game. So he'll be taking tests leading up to it. He has to be sequestered. And they obviously need him if they've got – I mean, they don't have much of a chance, frankly, against Tampa. But he is a huge part of their biggest advantage, which is getting to Tom Brady and disrupting him. So that's a big piece of news today for the Bears.
Tomorrow we can officially sort of turn the page and start getting ready for Tampa Bay in earnest after all the film has been broken down.
And the bowl season starts tomorrow night.
Yes, it does.
Have fun with your watch party with your cheese tray and your prune juice and your heated
prune
blanket.
Juice. There's no heated blankets, you bastards.
Okay.
There's salami. Which is good for grown men.
Boomer Esiason, Joe Ostrowski, Hub Arkish, and Olin Krutz were our guests. Thanks to Connor O'Donnell, running the Twitch chat and the video stream. Thank you, sir. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. We appreciate you. Chris Tannehill makes us better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. Anthony Herron coming up next at Beacon Tap and Displaying. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
End it.
Distraction today. I didn't think he wanted to do... what everybody else was doing, and it was early, it wasn't a big deal. Just told him he should leave then, and we went on with practice. I don't know. I mean, I'm gonna give, like, every day, every single moment, I'm gonna give Ben a chance to join the team and be part of the team. He's under contract to be part of the team, and so that's not gonna change. You know, sometimes it happens quick and guys join back in. Sometimes it doesn't. I've been in both situations, and I'm fine with that. But at the end of the day, as a coach, I have to protect the team.
Bottom of the hour brought to you by DuckDuckGo. That's Doc Rivers talking about Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons, one of the most versatile players in the NBA, a 6'10 guard, who is an all-NBA defensive player, and he's wildly talented with, like I said, $190 million guaranteed contract.
Just can't shoot.
Can't shoot. Awful moment in the postseason. Him and Embiid do not seem to be the best duo in terms of complementing each other's skills, and he wants out of Philly, but he reported to the Sixers, and yesterday... he showed up at practice.
Had his phone in his pocket at practice yesterday.
Yeah, was practicing in sweatpants with his cell phone in his pocket.
Didn't join the team huddle at a point yesterday.
And then today, gets thrown out of practice. Doc Rivers is like, hey, Ben, hop in on this defensive drill. He said no. Then he said, Ben, hop in on the defensive drill. He said no. Then Doc said, then get your ass out of here. He said, cool, drop the basketball, and went home. They suspended him, conduct detrimental. He'll miss the opener at least.
Here's what Joel Embiid said after practice today. Quote, our job is not to babysit somebody. At this point, I don't care about that man. Unquote.
Things are going great. I was just thinking about the idea of sabotaging your way out of a job.
I hate that kind of trash. That kind of, not that, I'm not calling him trash.
Embiid?
No.
Okay.
Simmons.
Okay. Yeah.
Simmons, this kind of passive, aggressive, intentional, chaotic disruption. F you, man. Show up or don't.
Well, that's the thing. I don't really get, and I'm sure, I mean, he's repped by, you know, Maverick Carter by Rich Paul, and like
he wants to be traded, and thinks that this is going that at this point someone else would still accept him like this and be like, you know what, sign me up for that.
Well, I think that I think the assumption is that if you traded for Ben Simmons, he'd be happy. He was not happy, reportedly, with the comments that were made about him after the postseason series last year that went poorly. So I would assume that if he got traded to fill in the blank team, he would show up. But what I don't get is you were holding out and then you showed up,
right?
And you're doing this. Why show up?
To get paid.
But
right?
But they're okay. I mean, they find him for missing the preseason games, and now they suspended him, and so he'll be suspended without pay for conduct detrimental, right? So like he hasn't gotten paid yet.
Sixers had withheld $8.25 million. And then Simmons showed up. So I don't, and so maybe he got that. Maybe some of that came in a lump sum, and now he turned it back on, turned on the apathy again.
I just, yeah, man.
Jack Assery.
It's fairly remarkable. I don't really get why he showed up in the first place. And I just think the idea of, have you ever sabotaged your way out of a job? Like, you guys ever, like, intentionally gotten fired from a place?
I've never done that intentionally. I hope that I've never, like, subconsciously showed up and been terrible at a job and just not cared.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't remember ever doing that, frankly.
I defied a bad boss openly at Boston Blackie's who had no idea what he was doing. He was a new manager, and it was like, I'm going to fire you. And I was like, yeah, you can't fire me. I quit. And so it was like a simultaneous firing, quitting situation. And then he was gone like 3 months later and I got hired back. But that was like the closest. I was a great employee,
all
man.
Right, so you got in a battle of wills with a boss at Boston Blackie's.
Because I was better at his job than he was. But I was just the to-go guy. And he was so incompetent and not qualified. And so he was telling me that I needed to do things that I just fundamentally disagreed with.
This checks out.
I had worked there much longer than him. Hold on. You can't shake your head at this. He ended up getting fired. He was incompetent. I was right. I was just the to-go guy.
You standing up for being right and trying to win a situation.
Yeah.
It's just not surprising.
No, it shouldn't surprise you in any way, shape, or
picturing
form.
Picturing you in your early 20s, like, you know.
Teens,
even worse.
The like, level of baggery. What would Hub say about that guy? Right?
I mean, say he's having fun. he was wrong. He was wrong.
Uh-huh.
And he ended up getting fired, and my guy hired me back. It was great. But he tried to fire me and fill out the paperwork, and I said, no, I quit. And so that was the standoff and the battle of wills. That is as close as I can say to just being totally indifferent about my own employment.
I have not. Yeah, no. Tanny, Shane, have you guys ever intentionally, willfully tried to force your way out of a bad situation like that?
No, I work hard at every job I've ever had, almost to a fault. Where I'm like, man, why am I working so hard at this job that I'm not going to have in 5 years? What am I doing?
That checks out.
Yeah, that is very. We're both on brand here so far.
Very on brand.
Shane, you ever sabotage your way out of a job?
No, because I was always worried what my dad would tell me, what my dad would think. I'd be completely embarrassed that somebody fired me and I have to face my father. So,
yeah,
no.
Reasonable?
Yeah.
Totally
reasonable.
Totally reasonable thing.
I've always felt so damn fortunate to be doing any of the things I've done for a living. I've never wanted any of them to go away.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't happy to leave that job, but I was right. And sometimes you get a hold of a fact or two and you get a little belligerent with it. And all of a sudden that to-go job didn't seem that important. But it was
in terms of engineering your way out of a basketball situation.
Yeah.
Like I remember Andrew Bynum trying to do this and thinking that, you know, he was going to be important enough to get his way. I don't believe that went very well for Andrew Bynum when he was kicked out of practice in Cleveland and then eventually traded. But he didn't have as much upside remaining on his career as theoretically Ben Simmons has in his career.
It's different.
Right. Texture points out when Jimmy Butler wanted out of Minnesota, and some of those stories are legendary, and he just kicked everybody's ass in practice and was just a real tool until they finally said, all right, we don't want you around.
Yeah, but was right. He teamed up with all the second stringers and said that Wiggins and Towns weren't tough enough and practicing hard enough, and then the story goes that He did the Jordan thing and like took the second stringers and beat the first stringers. Speaking of Carl Anthony, just the NBA is back, which means weird stories are back and like weird hilarious stories.
And that whole situation has aged well for Jimmy Butler.
Very well. He goes to Miami, one of the best culture organizations in the league, and you know ends up in the finals.
Yep.
You see the story of Carl Anthony Towns today? Carl Anthony Towns on what his new pregame ritual is to get pumped up. I don't know if you do anything to pump yourself up before a show or a gig or anything like that.
I got some stuff.
Everyone has their things, right, before a big performance. So Carl Anthony Towns, his pregame ritual this year, watching two gorillas fight to the death.
Oh.
He has a video that he likes to watch, and he watches them fight to the death. Some real Animal Kingdom stuff.
It's the same. He's got one video.
It's
gonna get old fast.
I don't have many details.
He's gonna know what happened. Hey, here's where Gorilla B comes in with the left.
But these are the details that we get.
Man,
with the NBA being back.
The gorilla?
Yeah, the gorilla. I mean, that's kind of badass, is it not? Carl Anthony Towns, super thoughtful guy, introspective, has been a leader in the NBA's vaccination efforts. He's had family members pass away from COVID. He's been like very empathetic and outspoken and just thoughtful. He's a thoughtful dude. But he's like, so how do you, when you step over that line and come into the game, like how do you switch off from like thoughtful and empathetic to
savage fighting in the blocks?
Yeah,
on the blocks.
Aggressor. Video of gorillas fighting to the death.
That's
I'm
us.
Watching videos of gorillas fighting to the death right now. They throw punches.
They're just, yeah.
They do?
They throw punches like Close human
fist?
Boxers.
Rolling Groots.
Wow.
Like human boxers, they throw punches.
That's us, man. When you watch that, it's like, yeah, there we are. There we are.
Oh, you're a big Evolution guy?
Yeah, long time Evolution
me
guy.
Me too.
Yeah.
I love working with you.
It's hard not to be sometimes, isn't
it? It's tough. To not be an Evolution
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they make it tough.
You ever walk through at the Field Museum, the long thing about like the evolution of everything?
Yes.
That essentially they trace there at the Field Museum, and you're like, oh yeah, there we are a few hundred million years ago. We're very similar to that creature.
Yeah.
That starts to make a lot of sense.
So they've made a compelling case
for
evolution.
Case.
Like if you balance creationism's case against evolution's case,
yeah.
I feel like, and again, everyone chooses their own facts these days, but I do feel like evolution has a little bit more evidence on their side.
I think so. So, update on the gorilla fighting. How's that going over there, Shane? What do you feel?
I don't know who's winning. I really don't know who's winning. They come at each other for like 6-7 seconds, and then they both walk in opposite directions, and they come right back at each other.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tweet it. It's kind of boring.
Who's got
like a real boxing match?
How about the scoreboard? Who's got more rebounds? Who's got more rebounds?
Oh, Harambe, guys? It looks like.
Oh, well, see?
I just...
Harambe.
Rest in peace, King. I just...
Boob's out for Harambe, by the way.
That?
Wasn't that a thing?
What did you say?
Wasn't that a thing people were saying?
Something about Boog? You know about Boog Shami?
What happened to the Boog person?
Wasn't that a thing for Harambe?
Boob's out?
People were flashing on TV or something for Harambe?
I missed that.
I don't know.
I missed that.
Okay, well...
A little bummed I missed.
Literally him. Dump him.
Yeah, I didn't know. But all right. Hey, the more you know.
Whatever gets you going, man.
I'm just saying.
Whatever gets you going
the
into
league
that
is back.
Cat.
I'm excited. We got Brooklyn against Milwaukee right up the road here. Ring ceremony, banner ceremony tonight. I think the Bucks. Have you seen any of the videos from Giannis in the preseason? Because you have you do your bets.
I do.
I know you're a big NBA bettor.
Yeah.
I feel like there's going to be value early in Giannis made threes. His jump shot looks awesome. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't play much, but there's a stretch of a preseason game of him against the Jazz.
If he wants to shoot a whole bunch of them during the regular season, I'm cool with that. In the postseason, when it's nut-cutting time, do what you did. Go inside and dominate, kid.
I'm just saying, if what I saw in the highlight compilation of the preseason game for the Bucks against the Jazz is true, and Giannis added a legitimate, non-hitched jumper this offseason, he's got a shot at the third MVP.
I saw your boy Nick Wright unveiled his tiers of players this morning.
Yeah, he's a big list guy.
Yeah, well, no, but the tiers, I think the tiers is a very cool thing. I like that thing. And he had Giannis at the top.
Giannis number one, and KD and LeBron on the second level by themselves. Yeah, in his period. He had Zach LaVine too low. I was giving him some crap for that. He's got Zach LaVine outside of his top like 35. I think 36 or 37th. But
my text thread of Bulls fans buddies are fuming at whatever particular power ranking they found that had the Bulls 10th in the East behind Indiana and Charlotte. They're like, Indiana and Charlotte.
I think Charlotte has a chance to be kind of nice, but they're not better than the Bulls. Yeah, that's disrespectful.
That's right.
That's disrespectful.
You'd hold that one up.
Yeah.
Go bulletin board on that. But meanwhile, most power rankings and most national entities are picking the Bulls as the breakout team.
People are very, very, I was going to say bullish on the Bulls.
I already tweeted that. Joe Cowley bullish on the Bulls. That's not something that he usually is. Says they're going to be a top, what do you say, top 10 defense?
He had the top 10 defense, fifth seed in the East.
Whoop!
Yeah.
Whoop!
That'd
be fun.
It would be fun. Caruso and Ball and Patrick Williams, I think, can be plus defenders. How many minutes are they all going to be on the floor at the same time? The top 10 defense would shock me.
We have not asked the doctor about any of this. I don't think he's weighed in even once. What's that about?
Sorry, I'm just locked in here on the opener here. I can't even be bothered with Bulls right now.
He's got a game tonight.
I'm on call.
Our apologies. And we're late. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
Eddie Jackson. You know, we've talked to this before, and his name keeps coming up for the wrong reasons. You know, his name keeps coming up for reasons as you are the safety. You are the last line of defense. When you come up and you make that hit on Devontae Adams and he gets past you, it's going to be a touchdown, kid. You have to make that play. Mm-hmm. Get him down by any means necessary. Don't care how you do it. Even if you shoot at the worst flag, still keeps him out of the end zone. Mm-hmm. But you got to find a way to get him down.
That was Lance Briggs on the Football After Show, NBC Sports Chicago, about Eddie Jackson. Then Eddie Jackson tweeted out a Pro Football Focus article that talked about Lance Briggs' missed tackles over a period of time with the old thinking face emoji. But then he, of course, deleted the tweet because he realized, man, talking about Lance Briggs and tackling when you're Eddie Jackson, probably a losing proposition for you here on the old internet.
Lance Briggs, a linebacker, made a lot of tackles. Missed a few, sure.
Yeah, late in his career, based on the data as well. He will react and respond to Eddie Jackson's response to his criticism for the first time on these airwaves coming up in a little bit. With Anthony Herron. They're at the Beacon Tap in Des Plaines, Miller Lite Top Draft Show. Miller Lite, a great partner of us and the Bears. So go on out in Des Plaines to Beacon Tap, see Lance Briggs, hang out with Anthony Herron 6 to 9 tonight.
That's very cool. Anthony hosting solo and very well these days, and he gets Lance for an hour and a half of that show tonight. Good stuff.
Yeah. All sorts of drama in these streets today. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers saying things about Olin Krutz. Then Olin Krutz came on with us and said some stuff. And John Kuhn apparently has a radio show, and he said some stuff about
Olin. And what
did
Olin say to John Kuhn?
Stop being a clown.
Stop being a clown.
Yeah. Stop being a clown. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of
And
lot
you guys,
of
you're poking every bear that's possible. And in the end, we needed Hub Arkish to tell us that it was just fun.
He has fun. Yeah.
That's all.
I agree.
Him and Crane Kenny.
Guys, I hope everybody knows that I consider this fun.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
We all love fun.
What a blast.
Prescribed fun, segmented fun. Coming up next, fun. News of the day, though, beyond stupid, funny sports beef. Robert Quinn on the COVID list. Positive test for the Bears. He still can play. He needs two separate negative COVID tests. At least 24 hours before the game. So he'll be taking tests leading up to it. He has to be sequestered. And they obviously need him if they've got... I mean, they don't have much of a chance, frankly, against Tampa. But he is a huge part of their biggest advantage, which is getting to Tom Brady and disrupting him. So that's a big piece of news today for the Bears.
Tomorrow, we can officially sort of turn the page and start getting ready for Tampa Bay in earnest after all the film has been broken down.
And the bowl season starts tomorrow night.
Yes, it does.
Have fun with your watch party with your cheese tray and your prune juice and your heated
blanket. No prune juice. There's no heated blankets, you bastards.
Okay.
There's salami, which is good for grown men.
Boomer Esiason, Joe Ostrowski, Hub Arkish, and Olin Krutz were our guests. Thanks to Connor O'Donnell, running the Twitch chat and the video stream. Thank you, Sir Shane Reardon, our executive producer. We appreciate you. Chris Tannehill makes us better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. Anthony Herron coming up next at Beacon Tap and Display. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
End it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.